Now, for the past few books, I've taken time out to lift out the great truths and certain features of the Scripture. I've spoken of dispensations, for instance. Now, from now until we get to Revelation, we will enlarge on some particular feature of prophecy that every Bible student must know if he or she is to understand the profound purposes of the Bible. Prophecy is part of the divine revelation, and it is logical. It reveals God's game plan for the future. It is chronological, and it shows the place of man in God's program, which for us, of course, is very important. And I cannot lift out one verse and fit it into another part of God's program, and neither can you. We need to consider prophecy as being very logical. Now, God made certain covenants or contracts with the human race and with the nation Israel and the church in particular. Now, we're familiar with the covenant God made to Adam and Eve, that death was because man sinned. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Man could survive on the earth by the sweat of his brow, and woman could endure the pangs of childbirth to remind her that she was bringing a sinner into the world. Now, America, our nation today, forgot how to work, and we began to kill the babies before they got into this world. And then we've had a depression. It came, and weather got all mixed up, and the turmoil and the conditions of the world today, we ask the question, were these warnings from God that he judges nations? God made a covenant now, back in the beginning with Noah. God would never judge the earth by a flood again. To keep down violence and lawlessness, God instituted capital punishment for the murderer. He that sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. God was revealing the sacredness and value of human life, and that governments must be based upon this great premise that they are in position to do one thing, and that is to preserve human life. Now we come to the covenants, and that's what we're going to talk about now, the covenants which concern us vitally. These covenants will give us an understanding of Scripture. Now, God made four unconditional covenants with the nation Israel, and these covenants did not depend on Israel doing anything except believing God. That's all they had to do, just accept him. And they acted on that belief, of course. Now, covenants depend, therefore, on the integrity of God. Now, these covenants are marked out by God saying, I will do certain things. And there happens to be one conditional covenant, and that's the Mosaic covenant. God says, if ye will do. I want to begin with the first covenant that is of such great significance to us, and that's the covenant God made with Abraham. And we find that in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a threefold covenant God made with Abraham. He promised him a land. He promised him that he would be the father of a great nation. And he enlarged that later to include other nations. And he says, I'll make you a blessing to all the families of the earth. Now, may I say to you that two-thirds of that covenant has been fulfilled. God has made them a great nation, and he also has made him a blessing through Christ to the world. But he doesn't have that land yet, and we're going to see that next time. We saw last time that there were four covenants that God made with the nation Israel. And those covenants that God made with the nation Israel were unconditional covenants. And these covenants are divided in two different ways. The covenants actually depended upon the integrity of God, upon the Word of God. And there was one, however, that was a conditional covenant. We'll see that when we get to it, the Mosaic covenant. But we were talking last time about the covenant with Abraham. And God had promised him a land, a nation would come from him, and actually nations, and he would become a blessing to all nations. Now, the covenants that God made were eternal covenants, absolute covenants, and nothing could break these covenants at all. Now, God has made two-thirds of this covenant good. He promised him he'd make a nation from him. Well, he certainly did that. They're scattered now in every nation under the sun, and many of them are back in the land of Israel right now. That's a very tenuous sort of a living that they are enjoying, or I should say maybe not enjoying. God also promised to make them a blessing to all nations, and it was through Abraham that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world and through this nation. So they were to be a blessing to all nations. And that's the blessing the world has today, although some would like to call it something else other than a blessing. Now, God made this great covenant with Abraham. Now, he added something to it. I mean by that, he added to it and widened it out by giving Abraham an explanation of some things that were to take place. For instance, we come to the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we find there Abraham has returned from the first warfare that's mentioned in the Word of God, and it was Abraham going and recovering the people and the booty that had been taken by the kings of the east. And Abraham salvaged all of that. And the king of Sodom offered him all the booty. And he made a tremendous statement. He said, you couldn't give me a shoestring or a piece of thread. And so Abraham is on pretty noble ground. And God immediately appeared to him and said, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I'm your protection. And you thought you might lose the battle and be killed, but I was your shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. Now, Abraham, if he's like some folk today, he would have jumped up and down and said, praise the Lord. Well, that would have been very nice, I suppose, but Abraham didn't do it that way. Abraham talked right back to the Lord. He said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And according to the code of Hammurabi of that day, well, poor Abraham, all of his possessions would go to this boy. And Abraham says, you'd promise me a son? What about it? I don't have a son. And God says to him, he says, he brought him forth abroad, and it was nighttime. And he said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And the marvelous thing is that Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. One of the great verses of the Bible, by the way. And Abraham is still a very practical sort of fellow. Says, how can I know that? And God said to him, well, you get the sacrifices ready, and I'll come down and make a contract. And God came down, by the way, but Abraham was put aside, and God went through there and made the contract. Well, why didn't Abraham join in the contract? Isn't he going to promise something? He's not promising a thing. He's just to believe something. That's all. Unconditional promise that God made. God says, this is what I'm going to do for you, and I take an oath that I'll do it for you. Now, he explained to him, he said, your children are not going to stay in this land. I'm going to put them down in Egypt, and the reason is that the Amorite is still here in the land, and God took note of them. God said, I'm going to give them an opportunity to see if they'll turn to me. And God gave them, well, he gave them 400 years. And friends, that's long enough to give anybody to see whether they'll turn to him. This nation never turned from God. They were opposed to him, and they opposed the children of Israel when they crossed the Jordan River, and Jericho was sealed up. And God now steps in, and God gives them the land. The time has come for them to have the land. God didn't push the enemy out and put his people in. Those people in were not paying their rent. And God gave them 400 years. And no landlord will give you 400 years, friends. God gave them that. And he was a gracious God, by the way. And now he puts them in the land. Actually, to go out of that land three times. They have been out of that land three times. They've been back twice. They're yet to return to the land. The present return of the little nation of Israel today is not really a fulfillment of prophecy as I see it. We began last time, you will recall, talking about the covenants that God made. He had certain covenants with the human race at the very beginning. And then we come to the covenants that began with the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham, an unconditional covenant that would be an eternal covenant. And it's one of the most important parts of the Word of God, that covenant. The whole purpose of God is wrapped up in that, because you see, God had apparently no way of saving the human race. He'd had to bring a judgment upon Adam and Eve. That was a judgment of the entire race, and a judgment of the entire race at the flood, and also at the Tower of Babel. It would ultimately be concluded by God destroying the entire human family. And he wanted to salvage as many as he could. He took a man aside, and that man's Abraham. And the covenant God made with him is an eternal covenant. Now, the great difficulty that a great many have, and especially our amillennial brethren, is that they go back always to the Mosaic covenant that God made, and that was a temporary covenant. And it was, and we're going to be looking at that. Paul said in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was temporary. It was given till the seed should come. And so that was a temporary one. And the amillennialist has delighted in calling attention to that, which all of us accept and believe, of course, that it was temporary. But the covenant God made with Abraham just happens to be an eternal covenant, and God has no notion of going back on his word. He would if you were an amillennialist, but God's not going to go back on his word. He has made certain promises to the nation Israel, and he intends to keep those promises. 2/3 of the original covenant God made has been fulfilled, and God's going to return them to the land. And we have another covenant now that we want to call attention to today, and that is the Palestinian covenant. Now, Dr. Chafer considered the entire passage all the way from the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy through the 30th chapter. Some just take the 30th chapter. Some just take the first 10 verses in the 30th chapter. And some just take Deuteronomy 30, verse 3 through 5. As the Palestinian covenant. But I think that you need all of this passage in here, And I'm not going to attempt to read it. I will just have to paraphrase it for you. God told him very candidly in the 28th chapter that if they disobeyed him and were not faithful to him, that he would put them out of the land. But that doesn't mean that they are not going to be returned, because three times he told them that they would be put out of the land, and three times they're to be returned. And they've been returned twice. And in that first, God tells them that they're to be scattered among the nations of the world, and among those nations they'd find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. And that is their condition actually today. Even those that are back in the land do not even know what peace is. And then the Lord says that he intended to turn their captivity, that they would repent, that they would turn to God, that their Messiah would return. All of that is in the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm not going to read it. We've been over it once, and I gave a certain emphasis at that particular time. But the children of Israel were sent down into Egypt. God told Abraham, I'm not putting them in there now. I'm going to give the Moabites still in the land. I'm going to give him a chance to turn to me. But he didn't. And then God, through Moses, brought them into the land 400 years later. Then we find that God, through the prophets, kept telling them, because of their unfaithfulness, they'd go into captivity. And the final deportation was to Babylon. Judah was carried into Babylon into captivity. Jeremiah predicted it, and Jeremiah predicted their return. That was what Daniel was reading and made that discovery, that God intended to return them back to the land. He did that under Ezra and Nehemiah. They returned back to the land. Never was a complete return, of course, but it was wide open for any of them that wanted to. Now, God again said they're going to be scattered from the land. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ made that very clear, that they were to be put out of the land, Jerusalem would be destroyed, but that they would come back to the land. And God has a covenant he's made with these people that he will return them to that land. And we'll be seeing that in the new covenant that God has made with them. And that covenant is different than the new covenant he's made with us today. So that we have here this Palestinian covenant. They have a land forever, but they're out of it because of disobedience. But that has not broken God's covenant at all. And we come today to the Mosaic covenant. We've seen the covenant God made with Abraham, an unconditional covenant. And then we've seen the Palestinian covenant, which reinforced Abraham's great covenant. And it is a covenant that guaranteed that land to the children of Israel as an eternal possession. And then we come now to the covenant given through Moses. We have yet to look at the covenant made with David, and then the new covenant that is to be made in the future. Now, the Mosaic covenant is introduced, actually, the dispensation of law into Israel. And John put it like this in his gospel, John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, after the children of Israel became a nation and they were in the land of Egypt, God led them out. And at Mount Sinai, God there made this covenant with them. He gave them options, however. Moses went to the top of the mountain, and we're told in Exodus 19:3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. So far they've traveled on eagle's wings. It's all been by grace. They have been a complaining group, even wanting to return back to Egypt, and Moses has had his problems, but God has brought them on eagle's wings, the eagle's wings of grace, by the way. Now, he gives them an option. He says, "Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." In other words, now God says, do you want the law, or would you rather continue on eagle's wings? If you'll take the law and if you'll obey it. Now, this is a conditional covenant, the only conditional covenant God made with him. It says, if you will obey, and it rested upon that, then they would be a kingdom of priests. They never did obey, and therefore they were not made a kingdom of priests. God had to pick one tribe out of their midst to be a priesthood for them. And he says, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now imagine these people here, not even knowing yet what the law is, but how audacious they are. They said, bring it on, we'll keep it. And there are a great many people today feel the same way as Israel did at that time. We can keep the law. We can please God. We are able to do it in our own strength. We think well of ourselves. Therefore, we are able to please God. My friend, you and I cannot please God. They could not either. And they took the law, what we call today the Mosaic Law. And we'll have just a word to say about that next time. But this introduced the covenant now of law. And we're going to see that it was a temporary measure. It was never meant to be permanent at all. And that Israel miserably failed under it. Just as today a great many people who are trying to get to heaven by keeping some rule, and some by keeping the Mosaic Law. You can't make it that way, my friend. Only Christ is the Savior. Now, last time I did not get to finish this subject of the covenants. And I won't be able to finish it today, but I wasn't able to finish the covenant that's known as the Mosaic Covenant that God made with his people at Mount Sinai. Now, we come today to look at the conclusion of this covenant that God made. And that covenant, God made it very clear it was a covenant. He says in Exodus 19, verse 5, "Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure." Now, the children of Israel accepted that condition. They agreed to keep it. And, of course, they failed miserably to keep the covenant that they had made with God, that they would keep it. Now, what is the Mosaic Covenant? Well, it's what we call the Mosaic Law. It opens in chapter 20 of Exodus with the Ten Commandments that are given there. And then there follows a great many commandments that have to do with living, the home, business, in fact, every department of everyday life. And in that, there is given also instructions for making a tabernacle and a brazen altar where offerings can be made for sin. Because, you see, they were not going to keep the law. They were going to break it, and they were not able to keep it, and therefore they'd need a sacrifice for sin, because all of these laws, all of the commandments, the breaking of them, the sentence was death, and death was given to those that broke the law. Therefore, these people were not able to keep it, and God would have to condemn them. But they brought the sacrifice, and that sacrifice and every detail of that tabernacle pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came, he fulfilled all of that. Now, the law was something they did not keep. And I would like to turn to the New Testament, where we are told that they did not keep the law. Peter, at that great council of the church in the 15th book of Acts, at verse 10, we read, he says, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." So that the law was something that after about 1,500 years, admittedly, they had failed to keep it, therefore. And fortunately, the law was given temporarily. All the other covenants of God are not only unconditional, they're eternal. But this covenant was to last for just a certain length of time. And we read, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." In other words, it was temporary, given until Christ should come and be the one that would die for the sins of the world. Therefore, the Mosaic law was a covenant they made with God. They'd keep it. They broke that covenant. They failed miserably to keep the law. Therefore, this is the covenant that many of our amillennial brethren use when they begin to talk about that there's no millennium. That is something that does not exist at all, in spite of the clear teaching of the Word of God in that connection. And they go back not to the Abrahamic covenant, but they go back to this covenant that was to be done away with, a conditional covenant that depended upon their obedience and that was to be done away with at the coming of Christ. You see, God's promises to the nation Israel rest upon the Abrahamic covenant, not upon the Mosaic covenant at all, because it was to be done away with. And they're under grace today just the same as we are. The entire world, as far as God is concerned, is under grace. And that is the condition today. Therefore, the important thing to note is that the Abrahamic covenant is probably the most important one of all. Until we come to the next one. And the next one is the Davidic covenant, the covenant that God made with David. And I want to turn to 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, where that is recorded, and deal with that. But we'll not have time today to go into any detail here, other than to say that this Davidic covenant is another one of the most important covenants. It's absolutely unconditional. God has promised that a king is coming in the line of David to reign upon a kingdom here upon this earth. And the center of that is to be in Jerusalem. He's to sit upon David's throne. May I say to you that this is a very, very important covenant also. And all of these prophets we're looking at have that in mind. That is the thing, the kingdom that's coming, the promise to Abraham.